Welcome to today's audiocast for Friday, September 8th, 2006, sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News. Well, we've all watched insurance rates increase, and isn't there a frustrating sense of futility about that? After all, what can pilots do about insurance rates? Well, there's an insurance company that says there's plenty we can all do to help stem those increases, and it's hitting the road with a series of seminars on that topic. Jim Lowerman, Executive Vice President of Insurance Operations for Avimco Insurance, talked with AvWeb's Russ Niles about pilot responsibility and how it factors into insurance rate calculations.
As we look at the accident data over the years, one of the things that always disturbs us is the, what I call the mind-numbing consistency with which the accidents occur. That obviously brings up the question, with all of the efforts that we've had in general aviation to improve aviation safety, why does it seem like we continue to make the same kinds of mistakes over and over and over again? So at Avimco, we've tried to come up with some proactive ways to address issues like risk management, like helping people reduce the number of accidents they have and to help avoid them. Very specifically, several years ago, we began a risk management initiative in conjunction with King Schools and their practical risk management series of courses. And we've been very pleased with the results of that. The course has been popular for the Kings, and we are giving premium credits for those courses. And we're finding out that those people that are taking the courses are more than making up for the premium credits we're giving. So it's really been a win-win for everybody. We're also trying to work with other initiatives like the FAA Industry Training Standardization Initiative, or FITS, which is really geared to try to help develop new training programs for the new glass cockpit aircraft without going through the entire regulatory process. And we believe that contribution has helped to make those airplanes more viable. And then the one where particularly we've been involved with most recently is a thing called the Aviator's Model Code of Conduct. For those of your listeners who have not heard of this document, it's been developed by a gentleman named Michael Baum with the help of a permanent editorial board. Basically, it addresses several very key principles involved in general aviation safety. And kind of deals with some of the oughts and the shoulds, as well as the standard operating practices. And we've been working with Michael to try to help get that developed and get that out into the public.
Well, I've read part of the Code of Conduct, and it all seems so common sense. And so why are we missing out on so much of that? And why are so many aircraft accidents revolving around the same issues?
That is the $64,000 question, Russ. One of the things I have in one of my forums where I discuss this is that, you know, we tend to think that because it all seems so basic, it must just be the idiots, right? It's just the stupid pilot tricks that are getting people in trouble. But when you look at the data, it becomes increasingly clear that very competent people who are otherwise smart, capable, people who excel at almost everything they do, every once in a while just seem to disconnect their brains while flying a general aviation aircraft. And you do wonder why that is. And so our sense is that we really don't know as much about this as we think we do. There's always been a skills-based approach to addressing this in terms of making the people's skills better and so on. But we're suspicious that what's really happening is there's a way of thinking inside the cockpit that the masters have that is different perhaps from the rest of us, the ones of us who have the accidents. And we're trying to, and we believe that there's a way to figure out what that way of thinking is through research and to let the public know about it and hopefully be able to develop training programs that will reduce the losses.
Well, can you give us a hint? Like, what are some of us doing that others aren't?
Well, actually, there's a lot of research still needs to go into that, and that's part of the effort of the Aviator's Model Code of Conduct Initiative. Is the next step with that, we're working with a couple of gentlemen who have a great deal of research in the field of ethical studies and of just safety and risk management in general. And one of the things we hope to do is to help fund an initiative with the help of other people. Obviously, we can't pay for it all ourselves, but to help fund an initiative where we will go out with people who've been flying accident-free perhaps for 20 years and who have certain standards that we establish that clearly show them as subject matter experts in general aviation, and asking them a series of questions to see how they approach certain situations. and then take some folks who've had some accidents. I'm not, you know, the people who are otherwise quite competent and quite capable, and see if there aren't some ways we can determine what it is that that separates the subject matter experts from the folks that are having some of the losses. I could speculate, I could guess, but I'd rather see the research really come through. There's clearly something different about the people who don't have the accidents over a prolonged period of time and about the way they think in the cockpit.
If this works, it could be pretty profound. It could have quite an influence on the way we train and the way that we behave as pilots.
Oh, no question about it. Frankly, the motivator for us as a company is that nobody likes paying insurance premiums, but insurance premiums to a great extent are just, the insurance company is the messenger about the news, and that has historically been the role of the aviation insurance industry. I would like to see our industry, not just Avemco, but our competitors as well, try to come up with approaches like this where we might actually be able to improve the results down the road, which obviously means that it would help make insurance costs lower, which would help the whole industry. Ultimately, the economic impact might be the big one.
There's not much you can do about hurricanes and that sort of thing, but what percentage of premiums are based on those stupid pilot tricks?
Okay. Really good question. It's smaller than most people would think. I think most people would think it would be approaching 100%. My guess is it's well under half. Believe it or not, about 40% of the claims and 25% of the claim dollars go for things like ground weather losses and so on. There's not a whole lot we can do there, obviously. It's not so much the number of the losses, but it's the severity of the losses. So let's say 25% of the losses are, in terms of claim count, are caused by, quote-unquote, stupid pilot tricks. Those 25% are the ones that cost the most in terms of dollars because of the cost of litigation and liability settlements. And, of course, most importantly, it's the ones that have the greatest cost in terms of human life.
We are taking a technological approach to the safety. We've got parachutes, and we've got as much information as you can ever imagine coming out of the panel of your airplane. How much is that going to help, and how much is it going to mitigate what we as pilots do in the cockpit?
Theoretically, long-term, both of those developments should reduce both insurance costs and fatalities in the aircraft. In the short run, it may just be that it adds another layer of complexity, which makes the process of thinking in a cockpit even more difficult. I think the answer to your question is long-term, potentially a great deal of improvement. Short-term, however, we'll just have to see how it works out.
Well, you're not just sitting in your office cooking this up on your computer. You're actually taking it to pilots at various forums. You've done one, and you're planning another one for next spring, I understand.
Yes. This forum that we're currently calling You, the Next Frontier in Aviation Safety, I gave the first time at Sun and Fun this year. I'll be doing it again at Sun and Fun this coming year, as well as at Oshkosh next year. And it is an evolving forum as we get more and more information, and as we go forward with the studies, we're gaining more and more information that we're sharing with the general public. I spend at least half the time just with questions and answers from the audience, trying to get feedback from general aviation community about their reaction to our ideas, about whether they think we're on the right track, because ultimately they're the ones that are going to be impacted the most.
For the latest breaking aviation news, log on to our website at www.avweb.com. We think you'll like our new look. To comment on today's podcast, you can drop us an email to audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Monday, September 11th. I'm Mike Blakeney, and thanks for listening to AvWeb's Audio News. We'll be right back.